Accession number 11970, Reel 7.
Mr. Birtwistle, Reel 7. We were talking about the conditions of service generally in northern Belgium from very late 17 and through into 18 before the big German attack. Did you have much chance to wash or shave, or were you expected to wash or shave in the front line?
We washed and shaved as well as we could, you know. I mean, to say that, because you got the brought water up in petrol tank cans, you know, and of course we did wash and shave as well as we could. Of course, more or less wash with the shaving water, you know, with the shaving brush.
Were you expected to keep clean?
Well, as well as you can, yes, as well as you could, because I mean to say, on these quiet sectors, you could do pretty well, you know, and keep yourself up to mark, but. Of course, you had to tidy yourself up when you went back, when you're on rest, you know, when you got down on rest. Then you had to clean everything up and be expected to be spick and span the next morning, you know.
Were you expected to keep your buttons polished and things like
well,
that?
Well, no, they didn't bother about then, things like that. No, we were okay then.
What about the latrines? What were they like in the front line?
Well, we had latrines, you know, we made them ourselves, you know. Of course, I mean to say, A bit rough, but...
What type did you build?
Still, well, you... there were places dug out in the trench, you know, at the back of the trench, and you dug a hole, you know, and then, of course, you had a pole across to sit on, and that was the type of thing you had to do, you know.
Was there any paper supplied for you?
No, we didn't supply paper, but you could always got something, you know, we got papers and things. What you use, you know. No, they didn't supply anything like that. It was rough, I'll tell you, in the front line.
What about disposal of things like the old tin cans, the rubbish?
You dug a hole and buried them, you know. We always had to do. We had to keep the trench clean, because that was one of the main things. You didn't want to get typhoid or anything like that, you know, when you're in the line. It's, I mean, to say, if you kept it clean, you were okay. And then you buried it, you know, or anything. Oh, yes, it's special. What it's special little parties like to do things like that, you know.
What about lice? Did you have any trouble with lice?
Well, we had lice. Oh, absolutely. You were weak with lice. You couldn't keep them down. You used to take your shirt off and just, you're smoking a cigarette, you're running up the seam, you know, and get rid of them best way you could. But... because it was cold at the first when we went up up there in the, what is it, more Christmas time, and I put long johns on, but I soon had them off, because they were running in long johns worse than ever, you know, and I gave over wear. I never wore them after, I burnt them.
Did they bite, or did they just irritate you
by
running around?
They irritate you, bite you, they bite you and irritate you. I remember one time after March, and we went to a stamina, and behind they had some stables and a yard, and I said to the lads, I said, right, I said, the baron's there, I said, go on, sort yourselves out and get you settled in. And I just put my pack down on the floor and lay down on the yard, on the ground. And I'm lying there, and they're walking on the ground. So you can tell what they were lice. I got up and put mine into a trap that was there, you know, horse-drawn trap, my kit, and I slept there too.
Was it best to not try not to scratch them, or did you have to, or did it help to scratch?
Well, you rub you. You were always rubbing yourselves, you know. You couldn't avoid it, do you?
Did you get many cases of scabies and related things from it?
No, I don't think we had a lot of that. I don't remember one case of scabies. Not in Not in our lot, because they kept themselves pretty clean, you know, as well as they could. And then you went to the bath, you know, when you went out of
the
line.
What happened then? Could you tell us about the baths?
Well, when you went out of the bath, you were all showers, you know, shower baths. But you took your clothes off and handed them in, and then you got a new set when you got the, what is it, going on when you had a bath. And but you they weren't long before they were, because there were legs in the doing. I can't understand why they didn't fumigate them or something. There always eggs in the shirts and things. I used to look at mine before I put them on and clean them as well as I could. But no, you weren't long before you were lousy again.
When you say they gave you new shirts, but they were just new to you. They had been used.
Used. Yeah. Oh yes, they've been used.
Would it fit you, the new ones they gave you? You know the
big pan.
Would the new stuff? Would it be the right size?
Oh well, they're all. So you'd make the best use of it you could. You know, they're both.
What actually happened in the bath? What sort of baths were they?
You got carbolic soap, you know. They're all just concrete doings, that's all, like a concrete sluice, if you will, you know, on the floor, that was all. And just this, the sprinkler overhead, that was all they were, yeah.
What about rats? Were they a problem in these quieter areas?
Who?
Rats.
Oh, yes, well, you got rats in the front line, yeah. I know, because I got a revolver, and I know I used to go walking along the trench and firing at them going along the top of the trench, you know. Not to any extent, really. You got them. You weren't overrun with them, like.
Were they a nuisance to you?
Oh, well, they weren't. They weren't to us, no. I don't remember. Only one place where we went out on the line, out of the line once, and we were billeted in a brewery, and they were running over. They were slept in the, you know, we were put in the bottom of the brewery, and they were running over at night.
That was worse out of the line.
Oh, that was out of the line. Yes, when we were down out of the line, that's a brewery.
When you were in the line, would there be a problem keeping them out of your food or mice or anything like that?
Well, yes. Well, yeah, we did. We managed to keep them out. Oh, yeah. I don't think we had any trouble. I don't ever remember any trouble with them like that. But I remember one place where we were at, there were a cat. And I saw this cat and I thought, oh, cat up here, you know. And I watched it and it went into a shell hole. And there was a corrugated iron sheet over it. And it got on the... Anyway, I lifted it up and said, oh, there's three kittens there. Hi, in the front line. Amazing, really. Yeah.
What happened to them?
Well, I left them there because, immediately lifted the doing. They spit at you and, you know, they were wild. They were. But I thought, how lovely, you know, kitten in the front line. But we couldn't tame them.
What was a typical day like for you? Could you run us through a typical day from, say, stand two in the morning? It was in the quieter area.
Well, yeah.
What happened at stand two?
Only a matter of stand two. You know, the men stood to the stood on the parador, you know, on the firing step, rather. That was all, and watched over the top. That were the sentries. And then, of course, you could walk along the trench, you know, bother, because you were below the line of the, you know. I used to walk along, and this lad, Johnny Holding, he was my shadow, supposed to be. You know, you had to have a fellow with you as a runner, like, if anything happened to you, so you could take the messages, you know.
So you'd patrol, during the stand too, while the men were on the fire step, you'd patrol
down? I used to patrol down and go around to see how they were, you know, see how they're all stood to and everything, because they weren't, they were more like sentries when it was stood to, because the lads stood on the fire step, you know, looking over the trenches, you see. But, ordinarily, I mean to say, they were sat on the fire step and all that, they're, you know, nothing doing.
How long would the stand to last for?
Well, just an hour. You stood to an hour. Half an hour before sunrise and half an hour after. on seminar to stand down, you know.
Would people actually look over the top?
Because oh, yes, you could look over the top in the quiet sectors, you know. But you couldn't do it with a hot sector, you know. You couldn't put your finger up.
Would there be any fire during the stand, too? I mean, either at the German side or the British side?
Well, no, you never put a fire because he used to mark
no,
that.
No, sorry, would anybody
fire
fire
you
the
mean?
Weapons? Yeah, or was there
well,
any
no,
there?
No, not in a quiet sector. You didn't get any of that, I don't think, in a quiet sector. There were days sometimes and you never heard anything.
So what would you do after?
Just an odd shell or two, you know, going over.
What would you do after stand two, half an hour after dawn? What would you do?
Well, anything. Some got down and slept and, you know, it all depends.
Would you have, yeah. Is that when you'd have breakfast?
Well, after, yes, after you'd had your breakfast, what they were breakfast, but to make a cup of tea, you know, you had to, well, you put your Dixie, some of us, they were issued with petroleum, solidified petroleum, you know, and you could light one of those and no fumes, you know, no light, but... If you couldn't do that, you used to get a piece of wood and cut splinters off and just put it under your Dixie, you know, to boil your water. Keep feeding it with splintered, you know, so there wouldn't be any smoke. But if you got any smoke, sure, a shell come over, you know. They were all, any smoke of any description, and they used to be sending something over.
So you'd have a cup of tea or whatever you had.
Make yourself
And then
a
what
cup
was
of tea.
Your job during the day as a sergeant?
Well, to visit round, visit the posts, you know, different posts, and keep them in order, that's all. See
what would that involve, keeping them in order?
Well, going around to see that they were all right and see what was happening, you know, that was all.
Would you chat to the men?
I talk to them regularly, yes. You talk to them, dear me. Well, I always did. I mean, to say I talk to them as though I was talking to myself, so, you know. Always friendly. I wasn't one of them bullies that used to think. Well, of course, I don't think they wouldn't bully him in the front line because otherwise I'd be afraid. I think so. But that was one of my. What is it? I never used to bully chaps. I couldn't. I used to always be with them. Well, I mean to say, when I that platoon that I told you about.
The one that won the award, and
they bought me this stick after, you know. Well, I mean, I used to sit amongst them when the other platoons were having exercises, running around this field and all that. I used to be talking to them in the corner of the field, you know. It was surprising, really.
When you were in the line, would you call people by their first names? Or
you call them their first name, yeah. I did. Well, if you knew it. You didn't know a lot of them with their first names, you know.
But, and what would they call you? I mean, would they call you by your first name?
Yeah, they used to call me Bert or Sergeant. It all depends. I didn't bother. I weren't one of them fellas.
What about the rest of the NCOs? How did you get on with them during
that? Oh, I got on all right with everybody. I did. I had no trouble at all with anyone. No use having.
What about the officers in the line?
The officers are the same. You shall be all right with the officers.
Did you
right
see much of them in the front line? Were they with you in the front line, or were they...
Oh, yes, some, you know, they used to come up occasionally, you know, and see us in the front line. Oh, yes, they came round on visiting rounds, you know, to see if you're okay. In the night as well, you know. I mean, to say, they come up at midnight many a time.
Where would their dugouts be? Their dugouts?
Well, theirs were behind.
In
their
the support
dugout.
Line?
But ours were dug in the back of the trench, you know, with corrugated iron. And then you'd happen to have a sandbag or two in the sides, on the side, to lie on, you know, for having a sleep.
But you saw plenty of your officers then, in the front line.
Big man?
You saw plenty of them.
Oh, yes, I saw plenty of them. Oh, yes, they weren't, they were always very good, man. Well, the officers that I dealt with, you know, I think they had some reasonably decent officers.
Now, you went up... checking your men and patrolling round in your sector.
That's right.
Would you check their rifles and things like that?
Oh, I checked everything. I always used to see that they were clean and all that. Yes. Oh, I checked them and the men as well. And then if it were like frosty weather and all that, we used to have to rub our feet with whale oil, which was worse than the less frost itself, really, because it was terrible cold, you know, but... it'd save you from getting frostbitten, you know, any frostbite feet.
So you check they were putting the whale oil on the feet?
That's right, yes. I used to, as a matter of fact, I've rubbed the feet many a time for them, you know, helped them with it. Yeah.
Would you help them with sort of any personal problems they were having? You know?
Oh, yes, yes, if they had any personal problem, yeah. I've wrote letters for them, you know, for some of them that couldn't write.
What back home, you mean?
Yes, to the home, yes.
Did many of them have troubles with their marriages or families and things?
No, not that I know, not really in that respect, no.
Did you have many men who were perhaps losing the nerve a bit?
I don't remember one. I don't remember one, because I used to talk to them, you know, and if there was a heavy bombardment on, you know, I used to walk down the trench and go to see that they were all right, and I don't remember any, and not one, I don't think.
Did you see it as part of your job to keep the men cheerful then?
Yeah, well, it is. You know, it was up to you to look after them, wasn't it, and see that they were okay, and to see that they had not lost the nerve. If you talked to them, if they had any signs of it at all, you know. And then we used to chaff with them and joke with them, you know, and I did. We used to have a... Oh, yes.
So you'd be doing that in the morning, say after the afternoon, you know. Would you do any work on the trenches during the day?
I mean, oh, yes, if the trenches wanted...
What sort of thing would you do?
Well, I mean, say you cleaned them up and everything. If there'd been any shelling or anything like that, you'd build them up, build the sandbags up and make the trench occupiable, you know.
How did you go about filling the sandbags?
You fill them with soil. Oh, yeah, you could fill them with soil, all right. Yeah, not much trouble there.
And would you have a dinner? A dinner time?
Well, they ate what they had, you know. It all depends what you got.
So it was up to each man as to when he ate?
Well, yeah, of course it was. I mean to say, you issued him his rations and that was it. What rations you got, you know, well, it all depends what came up. Sometimes you get bully beef, sometimes you get boiled bacon, sometimes you get cheese, it all depends. You had to issue it, you know, and I remember once I had to cut a loaf into 16 slices, one slice each.
So you issued the rations in the morning?
Oh, yes, I issued, well, when they came up, because they came up during the night, you know, and then you went and drew your rations and then you issued them, you know. Yeah.
So you'd be doing this all day. You'd set a sentry rota, would you?
Well, the sentries, always sentries there, stood up, you know. Always the sentries up. You never took the sentries down. And then they'd change if the other fellow wanted a bit of a rest, you know, put another sentry on. But you relied on your lance corporals then to do a bit, you know, as well. They used to look after the chap on the firing post, you know.
Would they use periscopes to look over the sentry?
Well, they had, yeah, we had some periscopes at different places, but some places we never had any periscopes at all. Made out of a little box, you know, with two mirrors in, one at the top and one at the bottom. Yeah. It all depends whether it were a quiet front, you know, you could more or less do anything.
They mostly were quiet areas. You went to after 30.
Oh, yes, yes.
Was you say there wasn't much small arms fire?
No, no, you didn't. No, you weren't. There weren't a lot of small arms fire at all.
Or machine gun fire?
Well, sometimes the machine guns would fire, but they were on a separate duty, you see, machine guns, because they were like machine gun companies then, and they were sorted out, and they had their own places to go to. They didn't come in the front line much. They were more or less behind the line, them front machine guns.
What about German machine guns?
Well, they used to fire just the same, you know. It all depends how things were, yeah.
Did anybody do much sniping either side in a quiet sector?
No, not in a quiet sector. You didn't do a lot of sniping here because, I mean, just more or less a rest sector. You know, they used to put you on so you could have a bit of a rest instead of...
Do you think both sides had a sort of almost agreement not to do sniping?
Well, I don't know. They're more or less... They're more or less the same as we were, I think, you know. No, because if you started a bit of a rumpus, it only returned to you, you know. And if you're on a quiet sector, you want a bit of quiet because you had enough rough.
You said that so there was only the occasional shell you mentioned.
Oh, well, yeah, the occasional shell coming over, but not a lot. Or a mini wafer or something like that, you know, different.
Could you tell, I mean, you'd had quite a lot of experience of shell fire at Ypres, obviously.
Yeah.
Were you, could you tell the difference between different types
of shell? Oh, you could tell everything. I said, tell more or less any shell that came over.
How could you tell?
Well, with the noise, you know, the different noises.
Do you remember what the differences were?
Well, some were like steam engines going off, you know, and other things, then shrieking, and it all depends. But a whiz bang was over, and you know, it started, it was a whiz and bang, and that were it. I mean, you couldn't get out of the road then. Then we're blinking nuisance, but and then they had. What we used to call coal boxes, what were they? But they used to come on, you could see them coming through the air, you know, and they were toppling over, and you'd see them run down the trench out of the road, you know, because you'd time to get away from them, more or less. But, they were terrible sometimes.
What about Minnenwerfers?
Well, then were mini-wafers. Mini-wafers were another, as that used to be, a bit of a nuisance, you know. Yeah.
But in the quiet sectors, you didn't get much of this. That's
No, you didn't.
What about things like rifle grenades or?
Well, we used to be issue with rifle grenades too. It all depends what sort of sector you were in, you know.
So again, you wouldn't use them in a quiet sector?
Oh, no, you didn't bother with the quiet sector. You used to have a rest in the quiet sector.
What about gas? Was that a problem? Gas
shells? Well, that was another in a sector. It all depends, you know. I know I was on in Pigeon Wood with a party one night, because they were going over the next morning. I think there were about 30,000 going over the next morning, and we had to get up to Pigeon Wood to unload some trench mortar shells, and we were waiting in Pigeon Wood. And these limbers came up with these shells, and by Jove, whether he knew, I don't know, but it just seemed as though he knew, you know, and this were at night in the dark. And when these limbers came up, we were just going to unload them, and he started shelling with gas, tear gas. Well, of course, you had to put your helmet on then. After that, he started with mustard gas. Well, you couldn't do anything. You couldn't see a thing. Absolutely pitch black in a wood, you know. And I said, come on, lad, we'll have to get these things unloaded, because there were another party waiting, you see, to take them up the line. So we had to unload them. Well, I said, stand side by side and just stand them back, you know, and then stack them, and that's all we can do. We'll have to get rid of them for them, because they want them up the line for the next morning for the advance, you know, to what is it, the front line trench. So we got rid of that lot, but believe me, it's mustard gas, but we're all gassed. Oh dear, terrible.
That was while you were at Ypres?
No, that was another place, not at Ypres.
I don't know where Pigeon Wood
is. Pigeon Wood. Well, I don't. I've forgotten now. I can't remember, like, position now. I don't know where one from the other now.
That's all right. During the night, you'd have... what would you do during the night? You'd have your sentries, of course.
Oh, the sentries, right? Yeah, the sentries.
And what about... Did you have any patrols, either reconnaissance patrols?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we're on patrols regularly.
Did you go on them?
Oh, yes, I went on several of them.
Because you mentioned that one, Givenchy, you went out in white clothes.
That's right, when the snow was on the ground.
Could you tell us about that? What were the... These were specially issued clothes, were they?
Special clothes to put on, to go out on the snow, so that you wouldn't be seen. You know, because you were buried, with the snow, do you see?
And that was on a reconnaissance patrol.
That's
that
right,
time.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you remember what happened, or can you tell us of a typical patrol, perhaps?
I don't know whether it was Labassie or... But there was one patrol. one place where we were, and there was a post. They had posts out in front with two men, and the Lewis gun, you know. But they were out in front. Well, we had to go up to this post, and then from the post we had to go out on patrol, and we'd to cross a canal. And we used to have a duck board at one side so we could put it across this canal, because they'd cut the banks of the canal and let all the water come onto our trenches, you know. And they put this duck board down onto the sandbank at the other side of you, you know. But just to get over, we had to take this duck board with us and drop it over. And then I know we went out, and the jury must have had posts out as well in front. Because we used to put our rifle down by our side and pull your rifle along so that you could keep a straight line, you knew, and then you just turn your rifle over as you're coming back and down by your side again, and got down the side of it, and so you could go back again to the same place. And I remember we must have got between two of these posts, the Jerry's, and I put my face down on the ground, and I could see these German helmets. And so I like got the lads back, because only three of us went out. And so of course I put it back and then reported back, because they didn't know where Jerry were, you see. So we took this duck board back when we went over the train, over the canal, and took it back to the post, and then went back to our post then. But that's the type of thing that you had to do, you know, to find out where a jury was, or see whether if you're barbed wire, or if you were in ordinary trenches, you had barbed wire, and you went out to see that the barbed wire was all right, you know, wiring up. You had to go out on wiring parties sometimes in the front, you know.
What were the wiring parties like?
Screw pickets. They were damn rough, I'll tell you.
You used screw pickets by then?
Yeah, screw pickets down, and then you used to run your wire into the loop, you know, because there were loops on, and you could just loop your wire onto each one of the loops and run your wire along.
Was it in coils by then? Or
oh,
in
yes,
bales?
You had wire, yeah, yeah. And you had a stick between it, you know. You used to put your trench, entrenching tool handle through the centre, you know, the roll. And he'd be backing back with the roll while you were looping it on, you see. And you had rubber gloves, well, leather gloves, to hold the wire to loop it on. Yeah.
And would you
rough.
Have covering parties out while you were doing that?
Sometimes, but not always. No, you didn't have
did
always.
Did you feel vulnerable when you were standing about doing
well,
that sort of thing?
Well, you do. You felt very vulnerable, especially when we went out on one party. Because it was all the ground was covered in that in the those cotton, white cotton. All the ground was covered in that white cotton. Well, and the moon was shining, and you were very vulnerable because they could see, you know, you were against the cotton. You see, and I know we had a Lance Corporal wounded there. I don't know when we were doing out. So we had to pack up with it, because as soon as we started opening out, you know, putting the wire out, this machine gun started. So we had to pack up, and there was a hedge down, and we were under the shadow of the hedge, you know, going back and forward. But we had to pack it up.
Did they use very lights, which all the Germans?
Oh yes, they both used very lights, yes. But Ypres were the worst for that.
What would you do when a very light went up or a star?
Well, you just stood absolutely still.
You didn't drop to the ground.
Oh no, no! If you dropped, you'd give yourself away, you know. But you just stood. Immediately, you heard the bird. You could hear them go. You know, hear them fire them, and you just stood stock still, never moved.
What about actual fighting patrols or raids? Did you go on any of those during this period, or would that not
well,
happen in
well, class? Yeah, we went on a raid.
When was that?
On one. Well, I don't know what it was for, really, because the officer didn't even know, because I asked him, and I said, what the dickens have we come out for? But Jerry used to occupy this trench during the night, and during the day he used to leave it. And it was empty. So we were ordered to go over and take this trench and you know, stop in this trench. But we were told we hadn't told it. If Jerry came over, are you right? If Jerry came over, we had to leave it and go back. And we hadn't tried to fire at him at all. We could never understand it. I asked the officer several times. I said, the reason for coming out, it was absolutely ridiculous. I don't know why. I couldn't see any sense in it at all. We went out into this trench. And